Turn to Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11. Numbers 21 and 8 says this. This is where the children of Israel were murmuring against leadership. It's a good ministry. It helps lesson right here. They're murmuring against leadership, and the ground opened up, and serpents, fiery serpents, the Bible said, stinging, biting, killing serpents were coming up out of the ground, and they were killing the Israelites. And Moses, the very person that that his family, his 3 million family, were murmuring and complaining against, you know, he's got a good shepherd's heart, and so he was merciful and prayed, God, intervene. You know, let me just go ahead and say, I forgive them. We're good to go with those people. Just don't let them die anymore. And so I wish they weren't here, but I don't want them dying. You know what I mean? And so so the Lord told him. He said, get some bronze. Make a serpent of bronze. Put it on a pole or a standard and raise it up. And then he said, when they look at the bronze standard, the bronze serpent, they will be healed. Now, what does all this mean? A couple things. Number one, bronze represents judgment. In the Old Testament, when you see bronze, it always represents judgment. So why judgment? Why make a serpent of judgment? Because the thing that was destroying or killing the people has been judged. Once a thing has been judged, it can no longer hurt you anymore. But it's not automatic. You've got to get that inside of you. You have to get the image of that thing judged on the inside of you. And so why is it that images are so, so important? That's the way God created us. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which consists of mind, will, and emotions, imagination, and we live in a body. All your body is the vehicle that your spirit man rolls around in. That's how I try to communicate that to my kids and then teenagers at the school, that we've got to get that understanding of who and what we are, because there's a proper understanding of our function on the earth. And when we do transition away from this planet, we have to have a better understanding of transition. It's a relocation. It's not an end. And so all that being said, part of our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, part of the function of it is we get images on the inside and those images become a part of us. As a matter of fact, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hope is expectation, but hope is this. Hope is the image of what you are believing for. Hope is expectation of what you are believing. There's another word for negative expectation, and it's the word dread. What you dread. Job said this, the thing that I fear the most has come upon me. Proverbs says, the fear of the wicked shall come upon them. And so whenever you have negative expectation or an image of dread, an image of terror, we're building that on the inside of us, and that's not what God wants. You and I have to build the image of deliverance. We have to build the image of freedom. Now, there are some times where an instant deliverance needs to happen, but once that, whenever a person has a demonic stronghold or demon holding them bound, there needs to be a deliverance that takes place. But after that, there needs to be renewing of the mind to renew that image out of them. Chris and I, we had a great day. What was that, Wednesday? We had a great day Wednesday. We went out of town. We could say that. We went out of town. And we did a little bit of deliverance, and we helped the lady clean her house. You know what that means? Cast out some devils out of a house. And sometimes you might need that. Sometimes you might need it cast out of your house. Sometimes you need it cast out of you. And so we took care of business, just kind of, and it was all done. But at the same time, when that happens, when the Bible tells us, when it's clean swept, you need to fill that thing up with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, so that thing that came, that was dealing with, that you're dealing with, doesn't come back up. And what we do is we renew our minds to the Word of God. So Chris was counseling and just said, you got to fill yourself up with the Word. You got to fill yourself up with the Word. And so it's very important that we renew the image. You know, when I had been battling the gout, kind of like when I was battling this stuff, the image was so strong of dealing with this the rest of my life. And so it took effort. It took lots and lots of effort. Let's just go ahead and flip over to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This all goes along with what we're sharing this morning, because we want to get an image of the blood and what it does. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." It says here, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, it should always be in our mouth. If the Word of God is in our mouth day and night, everybody say day and night.
Day and night.
Day and night. Then you, who? Okay, we will make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. If we're not experiencing the success of the Word of God, then who is at fault? We are. We are. The word make, everybody, you see the word make in the word right here, it says you'll make your way prosperous. The word make is in the Hebrew means rush, rush. The enemy wants to keep our images so bound. You see, poverty is a mentality. When you fear running out, you have been overwhelmed by a spirit of poverty. When fear of running out. What am I going to do? When we get so far about what are we going to do, we're in a bad state. You see, faith is now. We have to deal with today, not tomorrow. Your today will take care of tomorrow. Just like your sowing will bring harvest tomorrow. My tithing has blessings for, you know, I didn't need the blessing from the tithe to deal with a virus 5 months ago. But now I'm at a place where, whew, man, I'm glad we tied. I'm covered, you know what I'm saying? And so what I'm saying is my today will affect my tomorrow. Does that make sense? And so back to this right here, what we're meditating on. Now this, you're going to have to help people out with this, because a lot of people are meditating on some wrong things. You know, it's amazing how easily folk have fallen apart like a $2 suitcase. You know, and it's just amazing what's happening, and it's very revealing. I hate to say it, but I've had fun this week. I mean, it's been a hoot. And some of the things we're seeing, we had the cheerleader end of the year party at school the other night, and just some of the I don't mean to be insensitive, but some of the jokes are just crazy. You know, kind of like the meme with the dog sliding across the front yard on his rear end. You know, because there's no dogs scoot on the ground. I'm thinking, okay, all right. There's some funny stuff out there. But what I'm saying is if these images are causing a problem, if looking at the negative balance is causing a problem, then meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. We got to change the image. How long does it take to change the image? Listen, how long we've been looking at the wrong image? How long we've been looking at the wrong image? And so we've got to guard what goes in our eye gates, what goes in our ear gates, because again, we meditate on things all the time. I'm at a place in my life where I've got to keep the Word of God going in my ears. You know, I bought me this Bluetooth speaker earlier this year, and I love this thing. You can ask Keys, I'll put it on. I'm in the shower. I'll turn that on because I need to have this thing, because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And it's not just you reading the Bible, but it's by you hearing the Word of God. Valerie, I got a glimpse of a little bit of what Brother Copeland was saying while I was in the back room this morning. I just happened to get on there and I saw a little bit. And, you know, he just gave some insight of how he has massive, great faith. Oh, he was endowed by God with such great faith. No. He listens to 2 1-hour teachings from another preacher before he goes to bed. Well, there you go. Why don't we have what Brother Copeland has, or why don't we have what so-and-so has? How about let's do what they do? Now, I'm not trying to mimic somebody. I'm not trying to mimic. But again, there's a glimpse. There's a key. Now, I appreciate people who tell you how they got what they got and where they come from. But again, it's hearing the Word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. You know, listening to, sometimes at Believer's Convention, you hear some of these guys talk about they're listening to so-and-so's tape one day and so-and-so's the other day. I'm like, wow, you listen to so-and-so? I'm like, man, that's pretty awesome. Well, where do you think they get, grow their faith from? And so you and I, we've got to spend more time listening, because we're hearing all kind of stuff. We are hearing things. What you hear is affecting what you believe. What you see is affecting what you believe. Amen? All right. So now let's go back to Exodus chapter 11. Leviticus. All right. So here we are in Exodus chapter 11. This is the last plague that hit Egypt. The last plague. And in verse 7 it says, "But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." You know, all the different plagues that Egypt went through, you know, darkness and all that. There, one of the passages, I believe in chapter 10, says that there was darkness in Egypt, but there was light in Goshen. Goshen is where the Israelites lived in. So there was darkness in Egypt, but right across the edge of that line, you could step over and there was light. We could step into the darkness on this side, step into the light on this side. Now that doesn't make natural sense. It doesn't make natural sense if you're over here, there's boils on your body, but you step over here, ain't no boils on your body. Or you step over here and you're covered with lice. Y'all's head start itching when I say that, lice. I hate that. Chris, we were talking about ringworm this morning. I didn't act like it in front of them, but inside of me, I was doing this right here. And so you got ringworm over here, but right over here, ain't no lice, no flies, no locusts. And you got your garden right here on the border of Goshen and Egypt. But then you can see those locusts trying to come in, but they can't, bink, bink. It's like hitting the glass, bink, 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 bink. And they just can't come and get your fruits and vegetables. But over here in Egypt, you see, those supernatural events are lessons for us to continue believing that same God back then is the same God today. However, we have a greater covenant than those guys have. Now, it's been a long time since we spoke to a rock and got water, but you know, if you really needed to, you can. It was so funny because I was the scripture in Psalms where I've been young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous begging bread. Well, you know, I replaced that with toilet paper. You know, I've never seen the righteous begging toilet paper. And so, but you know, yeah, you think about it. We keep looking at a verse in the Old Testament thinking, oh, that's a pretty verse, you know. And no, that's not a pretty verse. That is a promise for us today, and we have a better covenant. But the problem is the Word of God has become a storybook. The Word of God has not been living like it should have been living, and now we've got to get back to a place. We're catching up again. But you see, times like this, there's a place of being too late. There's a too late place where it's, you know what, right now it's time to engage what you know, not engage what you heard. You know, faith doesn't come by heard, faith comes by hearing. And if we'll stay engaged with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then your faith will be now faith. Our faith will be now faith. And when everybody else is in panic, we'll be just fine. Matter of fact, one friend that said they ran out of meat, Kiza, did you post that? Tell them, come over our house? Okay, all right. Oh, but then you said you'll throw some meat out to them. And so I apologize about the corny jokes, y'all, but it's one of those things. Okay, so it says here a difference. He said, the Lord put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Everyone say difference. That word difference has the understanding, listen to this, it means to separate. It means a distinction. It means to set apart. It means, listen to this, it has the understanding of showing. In other words, God will do things on your behalf to show off. So it was a show off for God and His people that they got light over here and it's darkness over here. Well, how come y'all don't have darkness over there? Why do y'all have so much light? It's just the blessing of God. I'm sorry. You see, God wants that. What the Bible says, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. God wants people to see His goodness on us, and people say, wow, like the co-worker there, Valerie's co-worker, you know, knew who to call. People are looking to us believers for answers. And so we've got to make sure we have the answers. But listen to this. We want to make sure we're living the answers. We're living the answers. So that word difference means sever. Sever. In other words, you know what? There is, I'm going to sever between you and the world, between light, the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of darkness. Remember, we're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The word difference means to make wonderfully. Make wonderfully. Listen, there, we are supposed to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. There's got to be some peculiarities in who we are, because it says here that the difference is we are made wonderfully. There is something wonderful about us. That's what the word difference means. Listen to this. The word difference means marked up. Marked up. Oh, I like your song, yeah. Marked up. In other words, you and I, we need to have the word on us. We need to be living word to people around us on a regular basis. On a regular, you know, I love it when go at the school sometimes, we'll have people that walk up to us and talk about, so ask for prayer and different things. And man, it's great. You know, it's been a while since I've been to Walmart, but you know, I've had people in Walmart come and ask me for prayer, and we're right there at the front line. Matter of fact, one of our friends has been had a lumpectomy a while back, and when she was getting ready to have it, she's one of the checkers at the self-checkout. She's one of the people that kind of monitors it, you know. And that's right at the front of the door, the store right there. Man, I laid hands on her, grabbed her, and prayed for her right there. And you just don't care. We got to be peculiar. We got to be, when's the last time you've been embarrassed for Jesus? You know what I'm saying? And so if it's been a while, then we're probably ashamed. So let's just do something to get ourselves, you know, do something. You know what I'm saying? Just do something. You know, say hallelujah in the middle of public or something. Just got to do something. Because, you know, one of those things. Just to make sure we ain't got no shame anymore. You know what I mean? Because right, Jesus bore our shame. All right. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 12. Chapter 12. And this is a fun verse right here. So this is the method that Jesus gave, or God gave, when it comes to protecting yourself from the plague or the death angel, you know, as it was back then. But for us, it's the plague. All right. And this is verse 12. He's talking about killing the lamb and draining the blood and all that. Verse 7 says, "And you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, on the lintels of the house, the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh and at night roast with fire, with unleavened bread, the bitter herbs." Now let's jump down to verse 13. Then it says, or verse 12, "Then for I will pass through the land of Egypt at night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now, I want to show you two words. Back in verse 7, we see the word strike. Strike. Everyone say strike. This word strike, it said strike the blood. The word strike means a scribe. We know a scribe has the understanding of something written. The word strike means to employ. Because see, we're going to be talking about pleading the blood and what all that means. And then we're going to receive communion. But the word strike, get that blood and strike it. Get a branch of hyssop, dip it in there and strike it. Means ascribe, it means employ, it means to grant, as in granting permission. You see, one of the things that Calvinism did to the church back in the, 1500s or 1600s, is it created socialist Christianity. Well, if it's God's will for me to get out of bed this morning, He'll get me up. Well, if it's God's will for me to get to church this morning, He'll get me there. Well, if it's God's will for me to be blessed financially, He'll do it. And if I'm not blessed financially, I guess it isn't God's will. Listen, there are things that you and I have to initiate before it can happen. We were given that responsibility on the earth. The word strike means to consecrate. So when they consecrated their house, they did it with blood, but they had to do it. Just because they go to so-and-so church didn't make the difference. Just because they were a part of the children of Israel did not make the difference. Faith, you have to do, I have to do certain things in faith. You know, when we release our tithe, we got to do it in faith. Don't pitch nothing in the bucket just because it's what we're supposed to do. Do it in faith, expecting harvest. Amen? All right, the word strike means to permit. Do you know that their application of the blood permitted the protection of God over their house? There's a permission. I mean, God has to have permission. Look, read the Bible. You'll see it. You'll see it. The word strike means report. Listen, you're getting reports all day long. Every day, all day. Rather, it's a notification on the cell phone, or it's news, or on the TV, or what. We're getting reports. The blood is a report. Not this house, devil. You see what I'm saying? Last year in May, when that tornado, it was the wildest thing. Watching that tornado come right to us. I went outside to look for it because I heard it was in our area, but I didn't think it was coming my direction. I forgot how my house sets. I forgot the directions that my house is set. My house don't set true north. I don't know why they didn't put my house, the back is true. I'm thinking, it ought to be true north, but the back is facing west-northwest. And so, typically tornadoes come from the west. And so when they said it's in the Union Valley area, I'm looking over there and looking for it. And there it is right over there. And so sure enough, I'm looking at it and it's getting kind of bigger. I'm like, wait a minute, it's coming right at us. Well, you know what? Because I've spent time with this verse, with this very same verse, pleading the blood was instant and pleading the blood was successful. Why? Because I spent time burning that image on the inside. I knew that once I gave the report, the blood, no sir, you can't come here, the blood is my report. Do you see that? So this word strike, that's why the Bible tells us to study to show yourself approved. That word study that Paul told Timothy means to research. Because the Greek and the Hebrew just is not descriptive enough of what God is saying. So when they put that blood on that doorpost, it was a report. It was a report saying, sorry, not here. You got to move on. That's the same thing I told that goofy tornado, not here. No, sir. And then the crazy thing, I got mad. Because the crazy thing is, it was going to see if I really believed the Word of God or not. You see, a lot of times you go through hard times and you think, oh my gosh, why couldn't it just end yesterday? Listen, the enemy likes to get all the way up to the doorpost where that blood is. You see what I'm saying? That death angel came to the door where that blood was, and then, because I don't know, they're blind, I guess. They just kind of, got to squint, look at that thing. I don't know, maybe. And so then once they saw it that close, then they move on to the next door. I don't know. I don't know what his visual condition is. But what I'm saying is it saw the report. And it ended it right there. And so it's vital we see that. All right, so the word strike. You strike, that means to permit. It means to entrust. See, we have to trust that we're not doing some ritual. We're not, the ritual there. All right. It means, that's a big report. It means to mention. The word strike means to mention. It means to utter. It means to appoint. It means to assign. It means to publish. You see, all those are speaking words. All those are declaration words. You see, images declare something. Images declare something. So the image that we see on Facebook of toilet paper being shelves being empty, it's saying something. Now we're good. We're fine. We're good. And I was thinking there was a bunch of buzzards in my backyard yesterday eating a dead animal. I thought, buzzard feathers are probably soft. But anyhow, listen, we think ahead. We plan. We plan out. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying is those images can get all the way on the inside of you, and they're saying something. Just like the blood says something, these images say something as well. And so look at verse 13, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, and the blood shall be to you a token upon these houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let me clarify this right here. It was brought out. There's a man named Dr. Robert Young. Dr. Robert Young is a theologian. He did a lot of studying on the Bible. One of the things that he has recognized is that the Old Testament was translated in the causative sense and not the permissive sense. So in other words, when they translated the Old Testament, they put it in the causative. In other words, God caused this instead of God allowed this. And so it's very important when you're studying the Bible, you recognize that there's a tense there. There's a tense, And God spoke it in the permissive tense, not the causative tense. That's why everybody's like, well, God has a death angel? I didn't know God had a death angel. No, we didn't have a death angel. God is life, all right? Okay, so back to this right here. Everyone say there, look at where it says, the blood shall be a token. That word token in the Hebrew means a sign. Okay, so back, we're back to it again. We're back to these images. Just like the sign of a brazen or a bronze serpent being judged, once you get that in you, once you get that thing in you, then the thing that's been doing all the problem ain't gonna hurt you no more. You know, that's the reason why, you know, when Mikey, we were driving down the road the other day, and we saw a pink cement truck. So a concrete truck that was pink. And one of the very first things that one of my kids said, Dad, is that a cancer truck? Because pink has been hijacked. So the image, somebody asked me a while back, why has cancer increased over the past 15, 20 years? That's all you see. The image is very strong, and the image is burnt on the inside of us. There was a point, and I think we're getting a little bit better now, there was a point where you see pink ribbons on cereal boxes, you see pink ribbons on your Coke can, your hair, every single thing. Listen, I would rather have the picture of the person who we may have lost because of that disease than the actual killer itself. Does that make sense? And so images are powerful. And God created us this way. That's why God says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, cast down images. And anything that exalts itself, raises itself against the image of the Word of God. And so what am I saying today is you and I, we have to strike something. We have to declare something. We have to make a bold stance on what we believe. And we see in the Old Testament, starting in the Old Testament, that the blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, an imperfect Lamb, yes, it was as perfect as they can get, okay? It was unblemished as they can get. But it says it was a token. That word token means a sign. It means a pledge. A pledge? A token is a pledge. You see, the blood of Jesus is a confirmation of a promise. You see, just like when God cut covenant for Abraham. You see, Abraham was knocked out when God was walking covenant for Abraham. Abraham didn't take part in the covenant. God did everything in that covenant because he knew Abraham couldn't do squat. Just like Jesus did the same thing. He knows you and I can't do squat to get into that covenant. All we can do is just take what he said and believe it. And so Abraham was knocked out, and God had those two pieces, all the stuff cut in half, and he walked a bloody figure eight. Just walk, that's how you cut the covenant. You lay the pieces down and you walk this bloody figure, and his blood trail came in there, and that blood meant something. It was the seal of a promise. The seal of a promise. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him, who him? The enemy, and the enemy's products, and the enemy's image, and the enemy's weapons. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, we sang that song this morning, and one of the very first verses says that we fight our battles by the blood. By the blood. That this is how we fight our battles. So what are we saying today? What I'm saying is the blood hasn't lost a drop of power. The blood hasn't lost its authority. But the question is, are we still exercising our authority in the blood? Are we exercising our authority by our declaration? Because even in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews even talks about chapter 10, verse 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed by pure water. What's the sprinkling talking about? The blood. See, our conscience is sprinkled by the blood. Our conscience is clean because of the blood. Why do you have to have a clean conscience? So you can release your faith in what we are doing and what we are believing. Amen. This morning we're going to receive communion. And so if you'll grab your cup here, because I believe it's the same principle. It's the same principle. I would challenge everyone, if you haven't read Billy Brim's book, The Blood and the Glory, that should be an annual thing. Every parent should read that, every grandparent. But that should be an annual thing. If we find it important to take vitamins to protect our bodies, there are some very specific things that we should be doing on a regular basis in order to protect our families and our households as well. Because the enemy is angry, He is jealous. He is mad. Why is he mad? Because you have favor and he doesn't. When the angels saw God walking in the garden in the cool of the day with Adam, the angels said this in Psalms chapter 8, I believe verse 4, "What is man that God is mindful of him, and the son of man that God visits him? He made man a little lower than Elohim," God. God made man a little lower than himself. Now the King James says lower than angels, but that word angels is a mistranslation because the word in Hebrew is Elohim, which means God. So these angels are like, wow, he made man lower than himself? In other words, you are above angels? That ticked Satan off. Why do you think he had to do something to get man down to his level by going in the garden? And that's exactly what he did to Adam and Eve. Got them at his level. Well, I'm going to get you down to my level. Yes, sir, I am. I'm going to take care of business. So he's ticked. What does the blood do? The blood reminds you are not at that level. The blood reminds you that you are one with the Father God. The Father, the Son, the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the living, solid Word of the living God. And so this morning, let's pray a blessing over this bread. And this bread represents living Word today. You see, today we heard living Word. Yes, we read Old Testament. And yes, we saw that it's a shadow or an image. But today we see that we have a fresh covenant with fresh Word, living bread of life. And so, Father, we recognize that today. And we bless this element that represents the bread of life, the body of Christ. And Father, just like in the Old Testament, we receive fresh manna today from your word of authority, your word of victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive this morning. And Father, this is the point of contact. Lord, ingesting this was a point of contact. So Father, now we believe. Now we receive everything that your word says. Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Psalms 103 verse 5, that our life is redeemed from danger. Psalms 91, the whole chapter, that Lord, that we are delivered from this perilous pestilence, this noisome, the noise of the enemy. Father, I thank you that nothing shall by any means hurt us, because you've given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power and tricks of the enemy. And so we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that the blood of Jesus, oh, it speaks of better things. Just like the blood of Abel spoke, it cried out because there is life in the blood. Father, as we get ready to receive the representation of the blood, we declare in Jesus' name, just like Moses sprinkled the blood over the covenant and over the people. And Lord, it just empowered, it sealed the covenant. Father, we declare this morning, the blood of Jesus seals our covenant benefits. And Lord, as we receive today, we declare that we release our faith at the same time. In Jesus' name, bless this cup in your name. Let's drink together. Now with that, I want you just to agree with me in prayer in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and I receive everything that the prophet of God spoke this morning and the other night. Father, we receive that. We agree with those words. We agree this morning that this is over. We thank you that the blood of Jesus is stronger than any problem the enemy could dare think of. We thank you that the creative power of the blood far surpasses the creative power of the enemy, the deception of the enemy. So, Father, we plead the blood. We plead the blood of Jesus over every one of us in this place today. I plead the blood over every person. I plead the blood over every person that represents this house that's not here. And God, we plead the blood over every household in the authority of Jesus' name. And I declare, because of the blood speaks. And the blood declares protection. And the blood declares no fear here. In Jesus' name, I thank you that we are bold because of the blood of Jesus. And so because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly into our throne room. We can come boldly out of our house. We can boldly go to the store, boldly go to church, boldly go where we have peace to go in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you that the power of the blood destroyed sin, but at the same time, it destroyed the curse. And Father, I thank you that Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 said that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because Jesus became the virus. Jesus became the virus 2,000 years ago. And when Jesus became this coronavirus, he put it on himself and he put himself on the cross and destroyed it. So, Father, we believe that what the enemy tried to put light on today was destroyed because of the broken body of Jesus and the spilled blood of Jesus over 2,000 years ago. And so, Father, I thank you that we are blessed, we are blessed, we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.